for standing with us. Glory to God. How many are ready for the Word? Everybody say, Pastor Dave, lay it on me. I will. Glory to God. Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for all that you've done for us already. We want to be a very grateful people, Lord. We want to be a thankful people for all that you do for us. We especially just want to thank you for the small things as well as the large ones, too. We thank you for breakthroughs coming this week in people's lives, Father. Physical, financial, spiritual, in every way, Lord. We thank you for these open doors. We thank you for these breakthroughs. We thank you for open heavens, Lord, that you have given us through the blood of Christ Jesus. And we now commit this word to you, Lord. Let it get down deep into our hearts. In Jesus' name, everybody said, yes. Amen. All right. I'm going to talk about living in God's rest. How many don't want to be visitors there? You want to live there. Amen. And how many know the rest he's talking about is not, you know, sleeping at night? I mean, that's part of it. But it's a rest that covers every aspect of our life. We have a peace in everything that we do. Can you say amen? No matter what it is, whether it's witnessing or the work that the workload that you have, no matter what it is. And so I like to have, if you're new, I like to have things out in notes, note form, so that you can take notes, that you can take them home with you. And I remember my grandmother, you know, we'd go to church together as a family, and the pastor would be out greeting people at the front, you know, and we're shaking his hand. And my grandmother would say the same thing every week. You know, that was the most inspirational word I've ever heard, you know. So we get outside, we get in the car, say, Granny, what did he teach on? Well, I don't know, son, but don't bug me now. But it was good. I went, okay. So we don't want to forget it. We want to be able to remember what God has said to us. So let's start off. Number one, let's look at Matthew 11, 28 through 30. In the Passion Translation, the Bible says, "Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you will discover that I am gentle, humble, easy to please." How many have found that, by the way? How many have found that, by the way? Okay. You will find refreshment and rest in me, for all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. Praise the Lord. So what a great introduction to the rest that God has for us. So I said this, Jesus lets us know his lordship will change us. The word rest in Greek is anapao, which means to rest, relax, and be refreshed. How many know God doesn't want uptight Christians? Can you say amen? He wants us to be joyful, full of confidence wherever we go. I remember a few years ago, we went over to Burger King. I talked to this one buddy of mine, and we were doing just reaching out to various people. And I asked him, I said, what's God put on your heart? Where should we go? He said, I think Burger King. I said, you got to be hungry, right? And he said, yeah, but I think we ought to go there. So I prayed, and once we got there, and the Holy Spirit said, the lady behind the counter is needy. She's got a back issue. How many know wherever we go, God can lead us and open doors? So I said, okay, brother, I said, you got us here, and I believe this is the person we're supposed to reach. So I went over and talked to her, and I said, dear, we're going to order. We're not just going to sit here and not order. We're going to order, and I put my order in. And then I said, but let me ask you a question. I said, the Holy Spirit led us to come here. And there was nobody else in the place. It was 3 in the afternoon. And I said, do you have a back issue? She goes, yeah, how did you know? I said, well, Holy Spirit spoke to me that you have a back issue. Are you a Christian? Are you a believer? She said, yeah, I love Jesus. I said, would you like to get free from that back issue? She said, yes. She said, let me just finish up a little bit. So we were over drinking our Cokes or whatever, you know, waiting on her. So she comes walking over, and I said, look, is it okay if we put our hand on your back. We're not going to be crazy, but just gently touch you. Is it okay? And how many know you got to ask people's permission? I mean, that's a good thing to do. And she said, yes, of course you can. I said, okay. So we just gently put our hand on her back. We rebuked the problem that she had. All of a sudden, she starts screaming. You know, that's what you better hope. It's a good screaming, you know. She goes, I got this incredible heat just going up and down my back. It's intense. It's so intense. I said, God's burning your problem out, you know. And she goes, oh, I feel good. I said, bend over and touch your toes. See, could you bend over and touch your toes before? She said, no. I said, would you come by and let our team know what happened to you? She said, sure, be glad to. So wherever we go, we can go with the kingdom power of God, and we can put the enemy on notice that he's not welcome in the lives of those people. So because we are co-laboring, yoked with him, so his joy is our joy. Say, his joy is my joy and my strength. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength, right? His yoke is easy. While it doesn't feel like it, doesn't matter how it feels, Jesus said it's easy, so it's easy. Because he's helping you bear it. Can you say amen? His yoke is easy, also meaning delightful. I looked that word up. The original meaning of easy there in the Greek language, according to Rick Renner, is what? It's delightful. Wow. Right? The first time I met Christ, and I told you my story many times, but I got on my knees. I didn't know what to expect. I asked God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. You're real to my parents. You're not real to me, but if you are real, I've been a jerk. All right? And I need to ask you to forgive me. So that's repentance, right? Well, he came in full blast with his love. Blew me out of the saddle. Just totally filled me up with his love to the point where I thought I was going to die right there. Bang. Totally unexpected. Completely. So you know what happened? His yoke came upon me then. And his yoke's been delightful ever since. Everybody say, his yoke is delightful. Beautiful. Amen. And no matter where he sends you, he'll give you the commensurate grace that you need to be successful. Let's look at Ephesians 2:6. I love this. It's a great scripture. The Bible says, he raised us up together. Lean over and tell your neighbor, I've been raised together with Christ. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you're not only on earth, but you're also in heaven, according to the Word of God. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow, right? And so he's already made provision for you. And how many know if you're enthroned somewhere, if you're seated, and he's guiding you and directing you, then it'll work out for you. It'll work well for you, right? You don't have to worry about it. Then, I remember, this is 1969, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, okay, he said, first thing I want you to do, he said, I want you to go to Annapolis, Maryland. I had a friend of mine, his name was Charlie Beck, and he had called me on the phone, and I had been praying. I had a word over me. In 1969, I'd gotten out of seminary, and I went to this church in Philadelphia. It was Philadelphia Gospel Temple. And I told the pastors there, I need direction. Would you pray for me? So they gathered around me, and they prayed for me. And this one brother said, in 30 days, this is actually December of 68, so he said, in January of 69, you will get a call. Go, follow the call. So exactly 1 month later, I get a call from my friend Charlie Beck. And he had graduated a year before, and he said, we've done a church plant in Annapolis, and God spoke to me that and to our church that God was raising up a Joshua Caleb ministry to lead the people into the promised land, so to speak. And he said, I'm Joshua, and you're Caleb. And he said, would you come and work with me? And I went, sure. Because I said, God told me a month ago this would happen. So how many know, if you follow him, if you really want to follow him, it'll be easy. He'll open the doors for you, right? You say, well, how did you survive down there? Well, because there was no money promised. A lot of people won't go anywhere without money, you know. But how many know he will supply? And so I remember going down there, and, you know, we had, this the first Sunday I was there, we had visiting ministers in. They were terrific. And I wanted to give them an offering. So I look in my wallet. I had $30. That's it. And I remember asking the Lord, how much should I sow into their ministry? And the Lord said, well, I'm thinking about $30. I'm being funny, but that's what he told me. He says, take it, put it all in. So I did. I didn't panic. I wasn't looking for pencils to sell at the end of the service. Outside in a tin cup, I wasn't doing that. But after the service, I had a guy come up to me. And he said, Dave, we are so happy that you're here. And we've needed you to be here. And so we want to start blessing you financially. I hadn't taught yet. I hadn't done anything. That was my first service. And he said, the men just got together, and we put this money together, and this is for you, $300, 10 times what I had just given. Ooh, Jesus. Yeah. The joy of the Lord. So, but look, everybody say, he's faithful. Look at your neighbor and said, because he's faithful, you can rest in his faithfulness. Praise God. If we're going to get excited, might as well get excited about cool, neat things, right? So number two, how does this work in real life? People say, well, I want to know about real life. Well, I'm telling you a little bit about it. But let's look at the first scripture here. Luke 5:1-4, I love this verse. So it was, as the multitude pressed about to hear him, meaning Christ, to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and they were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat, because the water carries the sound even better, right? But when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, I love this, launch out into the deep. And what? Let down your nets for a catch. How many know that was contrary to the fisherman's mentality? You got to fish at night. And of course, they'd been fishing all night, caught nothing. But all of a sudden, it was amazing. They had their, actually, he said, let your nets down. They put one net down, if you go on reading it, and it broke the net. They needed other boats to come up and help them, and both those boats were loaded down that they almost sank. How many know you cannot beat God giving? All you have to do is do what he tells you to do, right? It's Christmas, 1981. My grandmother has just passed away at 97. Never had a sick day in her life. She ate anything she wanted. She didn't drink or smoke. She makes some amazing homemade bread, you know. How many of you have been in places where you smell this bread and you don't know necessarily where it's coming from? Well, that was her. She was great. So my mom said, I'm going to have to sell our house. And can I move down and live in the same area that you and I are? We went, yeah, Mom, we want you to come. And so in Christmas of 81, she moved down. We had an apartment for her. And I remember praying. I said, Holy Spirit, you know, I want to have a really nice Christmas for my mom. And the kids were little. But I said, I really want to have a good Christmas for them, but also a good Christmas for her. And she lost my dad, lost her mother, lost her father along the way as the years rolled. And so we wanted to be a blessing to her. So I remember going to the Lord, and I said, Father, tell me where to sow. If you haven't got it yet, I'm sure you will, but if you haven't got it yet, sowing is where it's at. See, we said this last week that in terms of natural things, sowing and reaping is not a part of that. It's buying and selling, but how many know supernaturally, for God's people, it's sowing and reaping? Can you say amen? All right. So I said, Lord, how much should I sow? And he said, how much do you have in your Christmas fund? I went, $200. He said, that's about what I was thinking. And here's where you sow it. I said, yes, sir. I'm learning some things, right? So I went ahead and sowed it, slept well, didn't have any issues, no fears, no problems. So my mom comes in town, and all of a sudden we just started getting finances show up in our mailbox. How much, PD? $1,600. Nobody knew what I did. I didn't go out and wave a flag and said, we just sowed this offering. You know, I don't know how we're going to make it for Christmas. Didn't do any of that stuff, right? I mean, no, that's manipulation. We just trusted God, and he did what he is famous for. There's a song about that. You know, he did what he's famous for, and we had an awesome Christmas. Glory to God. I'm just pulling a few things out here. 1997, and this was, we had just come down to do a church plant, and we put all our finances into planting this church. This is back in, we were having meetings at the Holiday Inn in Durham, big Holiday Inn there, and but it took money to take care of this. I had put money aside. We were inviting people to come. We asked David and Lynn Johnson, who are good friends of ours, real prayer warriors. Let me know when you're going to do a church plant or something like that. You want people there with you that are real prayer warriors, you know. And so they really stormed heaven for us. They were great. They were, you know, just reaching out to the people and strengthening our hands and all that kind of thing. So it was good. And they were there for us the first time and the second time. Second time was two weeks after the first time we went. And we had at the same hotel. We had almost the same amount of people. We had about 30 people. So we knew we were going to start the church with about that amount. So just before they left, we had breakfast together. And they said, thank you so much for inviting us here. And you know, we totally believe in what you're doing. And you discipled us when you and Ina were in New Orleans all those years. You discipled us. You poured into us. And so we just want to pour back to you. And they said, this is like a parting gift for you. And they handed us a check, $9,000. Oh, the joy of the Lord. But we needed that, see? We needed equipment and things like that. God, how many know God knows that? Right? We didn't ask them to do anything for us. But how many know God is faithful? God's faithful. We no sweat, man. Huh? We don't have to sweat it. We can stay at rest. Turn, look at your neighbor and say you need to stay at rest. I love this next verse. Hebrews 4, 9 and 10. Let's look at it. Oh, fill in. I'm sorry. Thank you. First one, Luke 5, 1 through 4, the fill-in is kingdoms. Once Peter put his boat in Christ's hands, it transferred kingdoms. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of what? Our Lord and his Christ. There you go. Jesus wants us free financially so we can get on with our real assignment. Your natural work, the work that you're doing, is not your real assignment. That's the means for you to put food on the table. And to pay your note for your house or your rent or whatever you're going to do. But your real assignment is what? It's another thing that God has called you to do, right? How many know we all need to find out what that is, right? But he will tell you. You put him first, he will show you. He will lead you every step of the way. Say, God's faithful. Okay, second bullet point, Hebrews 4, 9, and 10. Let's look at it. Love this scripture. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Lean over and tell the person next to you, there's a rest for you. For he who has entered his rest, say his rest, that doesn't mean siesta. You know, I'm entering my rest right now. That's your rest. But his, he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from what? His works, as God did from his. Have you ever tried to help God out? I know you all looking at me with those innocent faces like, Pastor Dave, are you inferring? Huh? How many of we've all done it, right? Lord, let me help you out. It looks like you need a little help here. You know, I'm a good helper. I can help you out. He doesn't need your help. If he tells you to do something, that's a different story. He has an assignment for you. Go do it. All right. So, Hebrews 4, 9 and 10, awesome verse on rest. So, as we enter his rest, we also give up worry. Lean over and tell your neighbor, be happy, don't worry. Remember that song? Remember that song? I'm not going to sing it, so that's something to give praise about. As we enter his rest, we also give up worry. Lean over and tell your neighbor, quit worrying. Let's look at John 14, 27. I leave the gift of peace with you, Jesus said. My peace. Boy, that's a big deal. How many know the peace that you have on the inside is not your peace, it's his peace that has clothed your peace, right? I leave the gift of peace with you. My peace, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. See, if God has called you to do an assignment, he will give you the what? The grace that you need. Right, we're not talking about what one guy called white knuckle Christianity, where you're trying to, you know, force it, work it. No, just be at peace. He's going to take care of it for you. But I don't feel. Shut up. I mean, no, it doesn't. It's not all about feelings. It's just about you trusting God, and he'll work it out for you. Right. So as we enter his rest, we also give up worry. Let's also look at Ruth. Chapter 2, verse 17. This is pretty cool. This is a great illustration of the word. Ruth 2, 17. So she gleaned in the field. She's already doing what she's supposed to do in the Lord. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Say, Pastor Dave, what is that? Well, it's 10-day supply. 10 days. You say, that's pretty good. Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. Let's look at 3:15 when she hooks up with Boaz. She starts working in Boaz's field. Boaz, a type of Jesus. Also, he said, Boaz did, bring the shawl. Of course, I think he kind of liked her. Obviously, he did because he eventually married her. Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. So she'd hold it out like this. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her, and then she went to into the city. Well, what is that? How much is that? 60 days, that's 2 months' supply. Whoa! How many know we serve a much more God? He wants to heap it on you. He wants to bless you more than you can ask or think, right? And I remember our 10th anniversary here. The same couple came back. Dave and Lynn Johnson, same couple. They said, we want to celebrate 10th anniversary. And then he got up in my face. He said, look, I know you feel responsible as pastor and everything, but he said, look, my ministry is financial. He said, I am the president of an oil company. I didn't know that. Well, he left us a tremendous blessing at the end, right? Even more than the first time. Didn't ask him to do any of that. Didn't ask him. But see, God takes care of his kids. Lean over and tell your neighbor, God will take care of you. Say, you just do what he tells you to do. That's it, man. 1972, Ina and I are up in Bernardsville, New Jersey. Nice old town. Stayed the same year after year after year after year. So we're there, and Ina and I have been married for 2 years. And so we're in the house. My mom and dad, you know, I'm talking to my dad in the living room, and Ina is in the kitchen with my mom, and they're cooking a meal. So my dad and I, it's summertime, and we're drinking iced coffee or something like that. And so I said, Dad, how's it working with you? How are you doing? How are you doing in Wall Street? Because I work with my father 1964, 65 in the summer in Wall Street. He was the number one broker in his agency year after year after year after year. And I said, Dad, how are you doing? How are things going? And he said, Dave, not really good. Not that good. I looked at him, and the Holy Ghost just gave me a word. I said, Dad, how long have you stopped tithing, Dad? He got this shocked look on his face. He goes, how did you know? I said, because, Dad, you've always been a tither, and God has always blessed you. He didn't work for a salary. He totally worked on commission, and God blessed him tremendously. And all of a sudden, that was the word knowledge. Now God gave me a word of wisdom for him. I said, can I give you another word, a word of wisdom? He goes, yeah. Yeah, you're on a roll. Yeah, come on. I said, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to tell you why you stopped tithing. He said, yeah, I'd like to know that. I said, it's because where you're going to church, you're not being fed. It's dead. He goes, you know, you're exactly right. I said, look, the pastor right next door to us, Dr. Pepper, that's his name. That's his name. Ina knows him. Don Pepper, he got his doctoral degree. We call him Dr. Pepper, right? I said, this guy's a great pastor, man. I said, he's evangelical. He's going after souls. Start going there. You know, he did. They did. They started going there. They loved it. And God elevated him back number one again. I say, I told you, you know. So he will help you along the way. He'll show you what you need to do. Genesis 3, 17 through 19. Love that. Love those verses. Let's take a look at them. Genesis 3, 17 through 19. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, you've eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it will bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. If he was from Brooklyn, that's how he would say it. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. Wow. Well, let's look at John 19 and verse 2. And as we're getting ready to read it, let me just first of all give you the... I'm going to read the verse first, I think. I'll give you the fill-in. And the soldiers twisted what? A crown of thorns. Speaks of the curse, folks. And put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. And so I'll give you the fill in here. Thorns speak of the curse, right? Let's look at these scriptures. Ezekiel 18, 2 through 4. What do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, says the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverbs in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father as well as the soul of the son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. So it was up until that time that the children would what? They would receive the curse or the issue of the father to the third and fourth generation of those that had. God said, we're changing things. once this new covenant comes along, we're changing things, okay? And the son will have to face his own issue as the father will face his. And let's look at John 19. This is so cool. 28 through 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, and he said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine, sour grapes, speaks of the curse. He's drinking it for you and I. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on the hyssop, put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, sour grapes, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Jesus took the curse for you and I, that we might be blessed. Isn't that awesome? And I say this, sour grapes speak of the end of generational curses for those that are in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? It absolutely is. And we're gonna hit this again in the next line because it's so important we get it. We can now rest in Christ's finished work. Let's look at Galatians 3:13-14. Boy, this seals it. This nails it. Okay? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I mean, no, it's not a future event. It's a past event. It's a done deal. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's a done deal. So what are you worried about? Tell them, what are you worried about? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. I love this part. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentile. Right? In Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It sealed us in His promises. The Bible says all the promises of God are what? Yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Boy, that's powerful. You mean all of them? Yep. Every single one of them. Well, I'm not living it. Well, repent. Change your mind. Well, where I went to church, I was not taught that. Well, you find a place that is teaching it, like this place, right? And embrace it and believe it and start walking in it. Praise the Lord. How many know there are people everywhere that are crying out saying, we need some reality. You know, does God really heal today? You better believe it. Does God bless us? You know, I've had all these people say, well, you know, we don't talk about financial things. How many know there? That's an important thing. We have to live, but not just live. God wants to multiply it. He wants to use us to bless so many other people, right? And we have been redeemed from every curse of the law. Now, let's look one more verse here. We said here, we can now rest in Christ's finished work. And we read that verse, those verses. We can now live, I love this, in Isaiah 54, 9 and 10. Isaiah 54, even though it was an Old Testament scripture, it was prophetic scripture. And it was not possible for people to live and walk in that verse fully until Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross for us. Now it's possible. All right? For he says, this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I would not, that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. That would not be possible until Christ came. For the mountain shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness, what? Shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. Oh my gosh, let's stand. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Now God wants us to walk and rest financially, physically, spiritually. Even if you have you have trouble trouble with your neighbors, you got trouble with family members, whatever. How many know that we have to put that in the hands of the Lord? We have to forgive these people. Can you say amen? Because if we don't forgive them, then it puts null and void the promises of God. So we have to forgive. Lean over, tell your neighbor, you got to forgive. But when you do, I'm telling you, it will open up amazing doors of blessing to you. So, Father, I just lift my hand over these awesome people, and I thank you for them, Lord. They're wonderful folks, Lord. They love you. They're the best in this city, best anywhere, Lord. And they're walking the walk. They're talking the talk. They're doing the things that you've called them to do, Father. They're letting their light shine. We speak blessing on them and all they do. Blessing on their going out, blessing in their coming in. We thank you, blessing on them physically, materially, spiritually, emotionally, in every way. And we thank you, Lord, that in this new year, they're going to see breakthroughs that like they've never seen before in every part of their life, with family members that will start coming into the kingdom of God. I'm saying this by prophetic, family members who will be coming into the kingdom of God, for people that have needed financial breakthroughs. It's coming. It's coming. God sees it. All you got to do is begin to give thanks. Give thanks for these things in Jesus' name. Praise God. So if you would like prayer for anything, I'd like our prayer team to come, if you will, please. Okay. You know, I'm looking over the audience. I think just about everybody here knows Jesus. If you don't, then it's time to get right. All right. There's no better day than today for you to get right. But I'm looking over. I know you people pretty well, and it looks like most of you know the Lord. But if you have any needs of any kind, physical, or you want them to agree with you about financial breakthroughs or whatever it is you might need, they're here to agree with you. And the Bible says one will chase 1,000, two will what? Put 10,000 to flight. Isn't that awesome? And so we're going to see some really great things. So, Father, I thank you for our dear church family. And I bless them, and I release the blessings of God upon their lives. And, Lord, as they come, those that need to come, for a prayer of agreement, Lord, they're going to also receive everything they need because you're faithful. You are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Come on down. Receive if you need it. Have a wonderful week.